What's up, everybody? This is Angela Lozada.
And I'm Marisa Rodriguez.
And this is the Rigorous Podcast. And if you're wondering what the Rigorous Podcast is, mama, tell them what it is.
It's Rigorous as shit. Mm-hmm. And my name is Marisa. And if you don't know who I am, I don't know what rock you've been living under for the past 10 years. You're probably asking yourself, what do Marisa and Angelo and Shannon talk about on this podcast? The answer is everything. All things classy, all things rigorous, and all things Panther activated. I'm trying to go to Westchester, so I'm going to get there.
You can check out the Rigorous Podcast live stream every Thursday at 12 o'clock on Gas Digital Network, 12 noon. Check it out. Mama, take us out.
Das says, stay classy.
You are now tuned in to the RAP. If you's a real motherfucker, that's the place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. And Louis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattle think is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
Oh shit, we're back. It's the Real Ass Podcast. What is it, Monday? Is it the 26th or 25th, Shannon?
26th.
Fuck yeah, it is. Almost done with February. Spring is in the air. You know, this is the countdown to spring right now. This is what happens every single time. You know, you get a couple warm days, you're like, dude, it's fucking happening. No. But we got some crazy cold happening still in the next month or so, but it still is in the air. You know, the wintertime in New York City is very depressing, and me personally, I do feel it a lot, so... I'm excited for the warm weather.
Hey, as long as you're back on that penny board, that's all that matters.
Fuck yeah, doggy. I am back on the penny board, actually.
I know.
If you follow me on my Instagram story, that's where I posted today the questions thing. I was crushing it down a hill on my penny, Zach, and I feel like you're being sarcastic, which I don't like.
No, I totally saw your Instagram.
I don't like sarcasm.
Because you don't get it.
I don't get sarcasm. I don't understand irony. I don't understand many things.
You're petty boarding all winter, too. It was weird to see you, like, sometimes push through the snow and the slush.
Yes, it was hard. Yeah, they don't have the penny sleds.
They told me I couldn't do it, dude.
I emailed them about the penny sleds, which would have been a great idea.
You just tie James and Sport to the front of it and have them drag you?
Yeah, why not?
That's a strange thing to get competitively insecure about. No, I can penny board.
Yeah, no, it's not bad, dude. Penny. First of all, people talk to me like I'm an asshole for penny boarding around. I've saved so much money, so much time. You know, I feel like I'm burning calories.
And they could talk to you like you're an asshole for so many other reasons.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, JP, I feel like you're coming at me very aggressively.
I'm in roast mode.
Very early. Yeah. You're in roast mode. Look, we got a great show planned today. Shannon, thank you so much for my coffee. Guys, if you want coffee, water, anything like that, you know, Shannon is your girl. And you could talk to her like she's a fucking waitress in a 40s diner. It's great. However, listen, I really mean this.
She is a nice dame.
You can you can talk to Shannon however you want to a certain line. You can. There's certain rules. You guys probably won't cross that path. To be honest with you, the rules that she's been like, hey, don't do that. I don't really have to even explain to other people because nobody would ever do that.
Yeah.
So you can really talk to Shannon however your heart desires.
Hey, Tuts, why'd you seat me with the colored?
I said no Irish.
Yeah.
All right. Look. We got a great show planned today. International superstar Zach Amico is here, as always.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, kid?
How you doing, man?
Feeling pretty good, dude. I'm actually in a pretty good mood. We got a great show planned today with two great guests as well. I think it's the second time for you, JP?
Yeah, I was here a while ago.
Yeah, JP McDade returns to the show. What's
thank
up,
you,
kid?
Thank you.
Also, Matt Maron joins the show for the first time.
First time.
What's up, motherfucker?
What's up? I'm feeling good.
Matt Maron, who, if you guys don't know, hosts and produces Comedy Fight Club, which is down on at Lucky Jack's in Lower East Side every Sunday night at 9:30?
10.
10 o'clock. Go out, guys. It's the alternative to the Roastmaster show. You know, I would say the college league to the Roastmaster's NBA.
Yeah, it's become kind of like a feeder system. At this point, I mean, yeah, three of the four people in the finals are Comedy Fight Club officials.
I know. It's so fucking incredible, dude. And you guys are the best of the best. And you guys go up every week and you do it. And, You're really fucking good at it, dude. Yeah, and we've been going to your show. And if you guys like the Roastmasters and you're in New York City on a Sunday night and you can't make it to our show, dude, go and check out their show. It's fucking great, dude. It's a different format, but it is, once again, New York City's young killers battling it out. You'll recognize a lot of the battlers that come through to the Roastmasters. So please go check out his show. I'm happy to have you guys all here. I mean, obviously, Zach Amico, everyone knows him as being a roast battler and a roast writer and one of the best, you know, guys in the game. But you guys are both two of the killers as well. JP, you've been around forever. A lot of the guys know you, you know, in this world, in the Gas Digital world, know you as that as well. But Matt, you're the fucking new kid on the block.
Yeah.
You know, to the Gas Digital world. Am I saying your last name correct? Marin?
Yeah, Marin.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. I
hear Moran. My last name before I was born, my grandfather's last name was Marin Gopoulos. Then they shortened it to Marangos. And they shortened it to Marin.
Those are all hilarious.
Yeah, Marangos is hilarious. That's what I would call a Mexican. I would if I was making fun of him and his family. The Marangos.
Yeah.
The Marangos family.
Guys, I want to try out my new character, Marangos, on the show.
But yeah, Down syndrome from Guatemala. Me and my dad.
Great, Giannis gets a third podcast.
My grandfather, my dad, and I all had different last names. So when people ask me like how to pronounce my name, I'm like, just say it however you want. I'll be fine with it.
Yeah. See, that's a very mature way to do it. If you forget... If you say Luis Gomez, if you say Luis and you forget the J, I'll fist fight you and your I'll fist fight your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't do it. All right. Here's the deal. Roastmasters Finals is tomorrow night, Tuesday night, if you're watching this live. And I'll tell you right now, the show itself has become somewhat of you know, a phenomenon. Just the roasting culture in itself has become really its own thing. It's in my opinion, it's the first new sort of thing. Podcasting became sort of a thing, you know. But what else? There's nothing else that's come out of comedy in a while where you're like, oh, that's a new specific thing.
It's kind of like podcasting in that, like, it's one of the new things with, like, a devoted following.
Yes.
Like, it's not a massive, it's not like there's millions of people tuning in, but there are thousands of people out there who tune into, like, every show.
Oh, every single show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, look, there's thousands of people that watch it on Gas Digital, and then there's thousands of people that watch it via YouTube, the videos that we put up there. Sometimes hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions. I mean, Zach's got a video that has 7 million views.
Yeah.
I think the Dina Hashem versus Dave Kinney battle has 1 million views or something like that. So, you know, the opportunity to be recognized and to get other opportunities is really there. And I think people shit on the roast battle format and they shit on it. They're like, oh, you know, why do you got to do that show? You're like, dude, you don't have to do it. You don't have to act. You don't have to do improv. You don't have to do voiceover. Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
It's never people who are really good at roasting.
It's always some fucking, some dumb bitch with a fucking hair lip and an eye patch. And she can't write for shit. And she's like, I don't want to do this. But like, of course you wouldn't want
to
do this.
If there was something to make fun of me, then I would do it. But there's nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like that's the person who also thinks that it's what's on the inside that counts. Never someone who's actually attractive thinks that.
Of course.
But there are really funny people who are like, that's not their thing, and I'm cool with, like, that's great. You know, if that's not your style, totally fine. But then there are people who are like, oh, yeah, it's too mean, and it's like, but every comic talks so much shit.
Of course.
We're like the only people bringing it to the forefront.
Well, you also put it out there. Some people, you know, self-deprecation is a style of comedy that's been around since the beginning of fucking comedy, right? Self-deprecation. All the comics that I love were always somewhat self-deprecating. You know, even Eddie Murphy, who was sort of braggadocious, like he would talk about his humble beginnings and eating fucking syrup sandwiches and, you know, not being able to afford real McDonald's. That's the shit that I always kind of connected with. And Roastmasters, it is self-deprecation. You're fucking with other people, but there's a contract there. You guys meet up beforehand. You talk about each other's lives. Not always, but for the most part, you guys have a conversation and say, hey, dude, this is what's on limits. This is what's off limits. Only fucking faggots say anything's off limits, but, you know, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's okay, too. And
please don't say the F word.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize.
F-U-C-K.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's a form of self-deprecation, and it's at a very, very high level because you're saying, hey, take this information about me.
Yeah.
And you go do with it what you want. And I'm gonna fucking say, fuck it, dude.
It's like suicide by cop.
Yes, dude.
They're like, I'll let someone else do it, but...
That's hilarious. Yeah, that's a great way
to put it. Black guys haven't figured it out yet.
Jesus. Let me real quick, before we get into the show, because I want to talk about roasting on today's show. Yeah. Some of the people don't like when we talk about roasting. Look, I got two of the best roast battlers in the world here. Three of the best roast battlers in the world. Fuck that. Three of the best writers in the world, because you take that skill set and you can go and put it into other formats.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a really interesting topic. But before we get into the show, we're going to do some plugs. And I also want to say a special thank you to Petey Diabrew.
Hope of the Hood.
Yeah, Hope of the Hood podcast, and also Better Days Comedy every Wednesday at 9 p.m. at Better Days on the Lower East Side. Petey Diabrew has a great show, and his show donated 3 blunts to today's show. This is how cheap I am, guys. I will plug anything. If you just really, you got to offer me something. It's very difficult for me to say no. So, Shannon, let's get some plug music, and let's get this bitch going. It's
like
show.
Petey's here with us.
It's a show. What? Zach Amico sucking on that hoe, fucking all those bitches, doing some blow. Matt Maron is here too. He's got a plan to kill a Jew. JP McDade, what's your spade? Abba-dubba-dubba-dubba-dubba-dade. My mind only works for 20-second periods. Abba-dubba-dubba-dubba-dubba-dade. That's literally the only thing I could come up with.
You wrote a Dr. Seuss book.
I actually wrote that last night.
Freestyling is the hardest thing in the world.
It's pretty hardcore. Yeah. You got to trust. That's the only thing I fucking respect about hip-hop. Somebody could freestyle some dope shit. JP, what do you got to plug, my friend?
Follow me on Twitter at JP_McDade. That's where I'll announce some shit. I think a friend of the show, Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Hell yeah.
Fucking great room. They have like a lot of hilarious comics come up. I'll be there March 24th with Colin Quinn, 2 shows.
Oh, sick,
get
dude.
Tickets, yeah.
You're opening for Colin. That's awesome, brother. Yeah, thanks, that's fucking huge, man. That's like, there's certain guys that you could like literally brag about opening for, and he's one of them. Yeah. Anybody else, you should be embarrassed. I had a buddy open up for Godfrey this weekend. It's like, why are you posting that?
Yeah.
I mean, I love Godfrey. He's unbelievable. He's a great comic, and he's a friend of mine. But, I mean, it's just not like, at that point, you should sort of just be like, all right, dude, I'm working this weekend somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's not brag about it. Matt, what's up, buddy?
At Real Matt Maron on Twitter and Instagram, and Comedy Fight Clubs every Sunday night at 10 at Lucky Jack's, and we stream it on Periscope at Comedy Fight NYC. Same thing with the Twitter and the Instagram. We post like highlights of like best jokes and stuff on the Instagram page and Twitter page every day.
Love it, Zachy.
Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. If you're listening live. This Thursday night, March the 1st, my new movie, Return to Nukem High, Volume 2, premieres at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, and then March the 8th, we're at the La Emily Theater in Los Angeles. Please come out.
Bunch of fucking queers we got here. They both denied my
blood. No, listen, I took an edible the other night that was twice as strong as I thought it was going to be, and I've just kind of been recovering from that.
Oh, really? So slowly.
Actually, I just forgot, there was one other thing. Me and Chris Crespo, who's also been on the Roast Masters, are producing a web series together called Hand Jobs, where he does a different job in every episode.
Of course. That's great.
That is hilarious. For
the pilot's out now. If you look Christopher Crespo's YouTube page, just Christopher Crespo, where he trained to be a boxer.
That's funny, dude.
And the second episode's dropping on Wednesday, where he
About letting Gastizzle produce it with you guys.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's
a
great idea. It's really funny, dude.
So I know
we're launching a web series side in April. We have 2 web series that we're launching through Gastizzle.
Yeah,
we should talk, dude. That sounds really funny. Yeah. I think Crespo's hilarious.
He is. Yeah,
talk about self-deprecation, dude. Yeah. We'll get into that in a second. With that motherfucker.
The episode we're dropping on Wednesday is a pianist, where he learned how to play piano, and then we went to a music open mic, and he played the piano for an audience.
So
and we got like legitimate crowd reactions of at first they're not into it at all, and that's he eventually incredible. Won him over.
Shannon, pull up the first episode of that. I'd love to watch some of that. That's very, very good, because Crespo's another guy who, you know, if you guys haven't watched him roast, he's you know, the thing about, oh, let me plug up my shit real quick too. But yeah, he's got no arms.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I thought you were looking for a way to say that like delicately and
no.
Coming in Lewis style.
Motherfucker's got no arms.
He's an abomination.
I got to get him on the show. He does shame on. He does shame on a bunch with them. They were the first persons to fucking like utilize him on a podcast in a fucking funny way, because those bitches don't care. They're just heartless cunts, and they like they came in and fucking Karen arm wrestled him on the show.
Yeah,
it was uncomfortable. It was so funny though. It was really good.
She lost though.
She did weeps. Yeah.
Well, those things, I mean, those nubs of his are fucking hard. It's all bone at the end.
Dude, look, if you got one nostril, you're going to smell real good out of it, you know?
Like, when he laughs, he'll, like, hit the table and it sound like a fucking, like, wrecking ball coming through a wall.
Yeah, of course. So, look, I got some stuff coming up. March 23rd, 24th, Boston, Massachusetts. Nick's Comedy Stop with Dave Smith. Secret podcast. Going to be releasing that information soon enough. So make sure you guys look at my social media for that. Also, the 25th through 30th, I'm going to be in LA. We're doing Legion of Skanks live at the Comedy Store. Podcast is sold out, sleepy motherfuckers. Sleepy bitches who didn't fucking get tickets to the podcast. I told you it was going to sell out. Sold out in like 5 days. You assholes should have gotten the fucking tickets. But guess what? You can still see the live stand-up show, Legion of Skanks and Friends, Thursday night, March 29th. At the Comedy Store. Listen, we're hanging out all fucking night. We don't fuck around, dude. You come and hang out at the Comedy Store. We will smoke a blunt with you. I will flirt with your girlfriend. Don't fuck with me, okay? Right now, we have confirmed Dan Soder on the show. It's Legion of Skanks and Friends. We have two or three other special guests right now that we can't confirm. Trust me. It's going to be dope. We don't fuck around. If you guys were at the last show, Bill Burr showed up. Joe Rogan showed up. Come on, doggy.
Oh, shit.
Come on, doggy. GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram, Roastmasters every Tuesday night. Use the promo code RAP if you want to get free tickets to the Roastmasters at thestandnyc.com.
Comedy Store is the shit.
I love it.
It's so great.
It's the best hang in the world.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Comedy Store, Matt?
I haven't, no.
Dude, have you been out west?
I haven't really been. I've been to LA once, like in my first year doing stand-up, but I didn't really have anything like going.
We're gonna send you out west. We're going to send you out west for the next New York versus LA battle.
Oh, you're a killer,
and you represent New York roasting on another level. So we did that about a year ago now, right? It was May 23rd, actually.
Yeah.
Because I know that because that's when me and Kim started technically seeing each other.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I watched that battle. I remember when you went against her out there. Yeah,
she fucked me up.
Yeah, I was watching for research because I wanted to. When I was going against her, I didn't want to say anything that had been said about her already.
Yeah.
That's the thing with someone who's done so many battles. I just don't want to repeat something.
Of course,
by accident.
And it does happen. It's literally impossible to do something completely original in this world. Yeah. If there's roast battles happening, there's a new roast battle UK, and there's roast battles all over the world.
Yeah,
you're gonna touch on the same puns and shit like that. But more than anything else, and this is the guys who are really good at it. Two of you guys, you know, you as well. You sort the same thing with comedy. You sort of make it your own by, you know, injecting your own style into it. You inject your own rhythm, the way that you say it, the way that you kind of twist that pun. Yeah. That kind of ends up becoming everything. You know what I'm saying? Because you can only say. This is kind of an interesting thing that I wanted to do with you guys, and we'll do it in a few minutes. What I thought would be a fun exercise. To kind of celebrate the Roastmasters would be to sort of open up the minds of some of the best roasters we have in New York City and show the process of writing a roast joke or two. Shannon is very roastable. I feel like we can probably come up with some on her. I mean, look at her. Jesus Christ. And then I also had a fan who's been a super fan for a long time, Kvazi Bumtain on Twitter. He sent me some information and some pictures about himself, which I forwarded to Shannon. So I haven't showed these guys this stuff at all. So I kind of want to show, you know, number one, there's a lot of young comics that listen to the show. You know what I'm saying? But I kind of want to show you guys how the process works and how, and if you guys are okay with it, you guys might say, fuck you, dude. I'm not fucking opening up my mind to these fucking lunatics. And
no, we're going to find new ways to call people gay.
Yeah, it's
the art of this show.
The first thing you do is go, okay. How can I make this fact about this person make them look gay?
What kind of sexual predator are they?
Yep. It's not that you call them a pedophile. It's how you call them a pedophile.
What kind of pedophile? Where does this pedophile work? What are their dreams?
Yeah.
Are they just a regular rapist?
What's their motivation?
Shannon, what are we up against today, by the way?
Wait, I don't have it up here, but I remember.
Don't even get me started. The first thing about Shannon that we're going to talk about is how dumb and unprepared she is.
The first World Trade Center bombing.
The first World Trade Center bombing.
Is that today?
That's today. What, 93?
What are you guys doing to celebrate?
No. What we do is on every show we try to beat out whatever the biggest event in history was.
Yeah,
just to make this show that much better than that.
The four of us could go in on a Cessna, I think. We could fly it into something.
Yeah. Dude, the first World Trade Center bomb was nothing. Like, four people died. Yeah. How many people died, Shannon? Give me some facts about that. Four people is nothing. Dude, let me tell you something. Let me explain to you something. Today's that's okay. If less than 10 deaths in something, It's not even news.
10 American deaths.
Oh, completely agreed.
25 Arabs died. You won't even hear about it.
There's a baby who fell off a building, and these cops caught him, and I was like, this is the most amazing story. This guy's going to be real astute of the week. Then I saw it was in Egypt, and I was like, all right. I can't give an Egyptian.
If you save one life, it seems like it means more than if you saved 50 lives. Yeah. Like, if a cop, like, shot someone who was going to kill a bunch of people, that's not as cool as heroic or getting a baby out of a tree or something like that.
Yeah. That baby in Egypt was working.
Yeah.
It was a window washer. So it's not a big of a deal.
If the baby was hanging from a thing, and it fucking fell, and these cops were down there, and they caught the fuck. It was a 5-year-old kid, and I'm not even lying about this. When I watched the video,
5-year-old, that's gonna.
It's not even a baby.
Do some damage.
I got choked up watching it, and I was like, oh my god, that was like,
where's my son?
Because I have a 5-year-old, and I'm like, fuck, dude, like that could be my kid. But then I looked down, and I said, it said Egypt, and I was like, oh.
That's hilarious.
It's, I mean, come on, what are we gonna do here?
It's probably a suicide bomber.
And it is what it is. And this is me just being fucking real ass.
Fell off the carpet.
This is what the show is.
I thought
they're
all pyramids over there anyway. You're not supposed to be able to fall.
Yeah, just slides. You should have slid down, or it would have been fun. What are you talking about? But no, if I'm being completely honest about it, and this is, people aren't real ass in the world, okay?
Yes.
This is what the theme of this show is, being real ass.
Yeah.
You know, if you're being completely honest, that's the way that I truly felt about it. When there's a school shooting, and there's a school shooting every day in some other country, we don't bat an eye at it. We don't give a fuck. And for some reason, these imaginary lines, they really, even if it's Canada, I don't care. I swear to God, it means less to me if it's in Canada.
Yeah.
And there's no difference.
Yeah, there's the idea that it's more it could be us if it's in our country.
I know.
But if it's, I mean, if Florida is further away than Canada to us.
Even when, like, Americans die overseas, I'm like, meh, good riddance.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't affect me. It's these lines, and it has to be within this fucking, these United States. Not even, it has to be mainland.
Contiguous.
I was just going to say, what about like a Natalie Holloway thing?
Dude, when fucking, fuck the U.S. Virgin Islands, suck a dick, dude. I mean, I don't care that it's America. Are you fucking kidding me? When Hawaii was under, when we thought for 20 minutes Hawaii was under nuclear attack, I was like, oh, thank God.
Thank God it's not our country.
Thank God it's not America.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think what states. Alaska, I wouldn't really care about either.
I know, because they're not really attached to mainland America.
Yeah, I'm trying.
There's like 40 people in Alaska, too.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. Mostly bears.
Plus, also, I feel like they just hide under the fucking icy water, and then the bomb would go up, and they come up, and they're like, it's refreshing.
Yeah, we'd just kill a bunch of fish.
Yeah. Come up. Then those Eskimos would be able to eat for months.
Exactly. A terrorist attack on Alaska would be good for the community.
Exactly. So look, let's get into Shannon, let's talk. Well, let me ask you guys, let's talk about the process of roasting and roast writing. Let's say you're roasting Shannon. Okay. First thing comes up, I come to you guys, I'm booking the show. I'm like, all right, there's this new girl, in comedy. She wants to roast, and you see this picture of her. I mean, immediately you're like, okay, this is the easiest. This is thank you for the gift of this big titted, pink-haired, fucking...
We don't let her talk.
Mixed-raced.
No comeback.
Fucking tattooed, whatever she is. That's the first that you... Because you look at somebody and you go, all right, how roastable are... The reason that people don't like roasting J.P. McDade is because you are boring.
Too boring, baby.
You're too boring. There's not anything that stands out about you.
How are you
going to
roast vanilla ice cream? There's nothing there.
You can't do it.
I actually got to say, of all the people in the finals, the joke, because we have to prepare for everyone, the ones I have about you are the ones that I like enjoyed writing the most. Well, because I think also because I do it so much, like when I have to be more creative, to me, that's more fun.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah. And look, here's the thing. You have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Did you and JP talk at all?
Not really. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you didn't even have a conversation.
Once you said the meetup before, I was like, before we leave, I should ask JP if anything is off limits because we haven't talked.
Well, I guess if there was something off limits, you would say it first, right? You would say, hey, dude, you know, like, look, there's not really anything off limits for me. I did a roast with Christina Hutchinson.
Yeah.
You know, and my dad's dead. My mom died of a fucking heroin overdose.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a single father. There's all these different things. You know, the only thing I said that's like off limits is like, don't really dig on, not even dig. Like, you can make a joke, but it's like, don't do research on like my son's mother and like make fun of her.
She's not like innocent bystanders is the whole thing.
Like, look, my girlfriend's a comic and she roasts, so she sort of puts herself out there as well.
Yeah.
But if my girlfriend wasn't a comic and wasn't like in that world, I would say, don't like find out what her job is and make fun of her job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember one time I went against someone, I didn't know much about them, but I knew they were married, and I did a bunch of jokes about his wife being ugly.
It's kind of unlimited.
He did get upset after. It was like
was it Corey Rapond?
I don't know how you guessed that, but okay, I wasn't gonna say anything.
He got mad at Karen or Micah or both of them because they made just a bunch of ugly wife jokes.
Well, they were like innocent. It was when the Harry Potter Fantastic Beasts movie came out, and he told me he's a big Harry Potter fan. I said it makes sense because his wife is a Fantastic Beast. The fact that he got upset means I kind of was. He said I was roasting his wife and not him. Mm. Apparently, some other comics told me he was showing pictures of his wife to them outside. Like, look, she's not that ugly.
That's brutal. Well, he came on and got really like into a thing with Karen and Micah on the show because I'm just like, dude, you kind of, if you're gonna put yourself out there, that's a little different. You know what I'm saying? You are kind of roasting him. That's me dating,
you're roasting his ability to acquire an attractive wife.
That's what my
I keep on offering it to JP.
Yeah, that was what my thought was. I mean, like a day later, we were texting, and he was cool. He was like mad in the moment, but that's it was hilarious. Fine. Yeah.
Like, it's your fault for not purchasing a better wife.
Exactly. I mean,
dude, I'm making fun of you. You're going to go out there, dude. It kind of has to all be on limits. You know?
And also,
if that's off limits, he should have said, hey, dude, don't talk about my wife before the roast.
There was a couple other things he told me not to talk about with other family members of his, but I mean, I didn't think saying
Corey's a really good roaster, too.
He is.
Like, that's almost,
it was a great battle.
That's the thing, in my opinion, that probably holds him back a little bit in the whole thing, the fact that he's a little sensitive about it. Some people wear it on their face when they're kind of getting it. Dave Kinney was a guy who, like, when he was getting beat up by Dina. Yeah. There was one point where he made just some comment and it was just like he was so obviously bothered that he's losing this fucking battle. It's weird because I don't think people realize as well how important this is. When you're up there, you have to perform to the audience.
Yep.
And I watch, there's certain people, Patrick's great at this. Patrick takes a hit. Patrick Schroeder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He takes a hit so well. You do it really well. You take a fucking hit.
Chaplin takes a hit really well.
Yeah, but it's not even so much just taking the hit. It's playing it up.
Yeah.
It's playing up the hit. You know what I'm saying? Schroeder, like, will... When you attack
he
sells it like it bothers him. Like, it's like, whoa, oh, come on. Like a pro wrestler.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of gets the audience going. And I think that sometimes if you're sensitive, I don't want to keep on shitting on people because these are all great comics. But you watch certain battles and you see the guys that they didn't connect. I'm thinking of one in particular. Both of them were getting sensitive about the fucking jokes and there was no like chemistry there.
Well, that's why the stakes are so much higher in a roast battle than any other kind of comedy. Because it's like when it's bad, it's so bad. It's like you're watching two strangers have an awkward dispute with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And no one is enjoying it at all. It's like a weird art piece.
Well, the cool part about it as well, this fail-safe that's built into this, and this is why it's a beautiful fucking show, is because even when the roasters are bad, they have the judges.
Yep.
And the judges will tear them a new asshole. Yep. And the reason I don't change the judges up that much is because I think it's important to build the dynamic. And I watch it at the Comedy Store, and I watch the judges hit and miss at the Comedy Store.
Yep.
And I would rather just fucking have Big J and Voss there every time and then have a couple other new guys sprinkled in.
Yep.
Eli's there almost every time when he's not battling.
And they also kind of get to know who the roasters are then. So then it's like, I've seen this guy before, and they can actually riff on, and then they have like a context for who the person is.
Yeah, 100%. So it's sort of built to, even when it fucking fails, even when the roasters are terrible and they're bombing, and that cringe feeling, then you still get, here's the problem with like comedy, if somebody's bombing, you don't get to get off. You know what I'm saying? You feel like you got comedy blue balls, and you go like, oh, you walk out of there, you're like, oh, it's so cringy to watch somebody not do well on stage, and you leave and you go, I didn't laugh. I feel like dissatisfied.
Yeah.
You want to go just fucking jerk off, and you go watch a YouTube video or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And with like the roast battle format, like almost every time, it's very rare that the judges, like Big J and Voss, how even if one of them bomb, it's still, they know how to bomb in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So it's a whole different thing. But Shannon, let's talk about you. Let's talk. First of all, show the fans that don't know what you look like. Get the Shannon cam going.
Shan cam.
Shan, The Shannon.
Hate it.
Shannon, why don't you put it?
I love that. I love the filter on that camera. Can we go back to that? It looks like an Iranian kid's YouTube channel or something.
It's the kid who fell off the building.
That's
There should be a feed on the side for how many tokens she's getting.
she looks like she dropped the kid off the building.
Shannon, can we give you more of a pinkish hue on the Shannon cam? Is that possible? Do you have a filter to make it more pink?
I don't know how to do
it. I want you to look like you're swimming in the womb.
That part of Willy Wonka where they go through the tunnel. That's what it should look like.
Okay, so Shannon cam, we'll use that from time to time. So Shannon, tell us a little bit about you. What would you do, JP? What would you do? First thing you would do, would you ask? You know nothing about this girl. Would you ask her to meet up and talk?
I would definitely do that. I'd try to find out some stuff about Shannon. And Shannon, you seem like a lovely person. You're very attractive. But what I would say right off the bat, I'd probably come out after you tell your first joke, and I'd be like, "Thank you." Almost Hot Topic.
That was the direction I was going. Hot Topic also.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. You got to imagine a world for the person to live in, and what do they do?
Yeah. That's a funny fucking joke.
I was gonna go Bratz doll with Down syndrome.
I thought works at a nail. Looks like she works at if a Hot Topic had a nail salon.
Okay.
This is great.
We love you very much.
This is all good,
you're doing
Shannon.
A great job. And...
These are the nicest things that's been said about me since I worked here.
You are not going to hurt this girl's feelings. Yeah. Trust me. I'm telling you. That is really fucking funny. And that's without even going, that's without even digging. That's just like immediate. What do you think works better? Do you think it's the surface jokes, the ones that what they look like, or would you kind of dig a little bit deeper? I mean, I guess it's
a stylistic thing.
Yeah, I like having a combination of both.
You gotta crack through the surface with that. First, you talk about what they look like because that's all the audience knows about them at first.
First impression.
Boom. Oh, yes, that is that.
Yeah.
And then you're ready to go.
I mean, DJ Isis would be hitting that fucking alarm when he called you Almost Hot Topic. Get over here.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah. Shannon would come out with some dumb fucking cute girl. What would you say, Shannon? You get to battle back.
I'm not good at this. I have no idea.
That'd be a terrible first joke, I'd be honest.
Yeah.
Never be honest.
Yeah, it's not good.
I like to go surface because we were talking about like the things that you get offended by if the people are going to talk. And anything about me, on limits, go for it. Make me look like an asshole. That's fine. But like we were talking about school shootings before. I'm from Sandy Hook, Connecticut. And I would just like to, if someone's going to do a joke about that, just make it so that I can go back home and show my face eventually. I'd like to not.
Well, that's the other thing. That's a great point because, look, this is actually a really good point.
I may need to rewrite some of my jokes.
The reality is, I love how you said some of your jokes. Yeah.
It's like 14 or 15.
We know the angle that Matt Maron's using on JP. But it's interesting you say it because, once again, it has to hit, and for you, I don't know, this was kind of funny because it wasn't funny, but there is a school shooting, and I want to move into that topic after we talk about this a little bit because you have more experience like in that world, obviously. I'm assuming you know families that were very much affected by this in a very real way. And for you to be standing there laughing, because we just mentioned it. We said, hey, it's important to take the hit well, right?
Yeah.
It's important to play it up and to make it funny for everybody in the crowd and to make sure that everybody's having a good time. For you to be standing there laughing at that, when you don't maybe necessarily find it funny, it sort of puts you in a weird position. So that's almost something like, you should. And that's a very real, legitimate. That's much more than like, oh, dude, don't talk about my fucking, wife because she, she might get her feelings hurt. It's like, that's a little bit silly in my opinion. I don't think you should be roast battling if that's where it's at. But
well, sometimes I legitimately find it funny and it's kind of great because it like takes a little bit of the sting out of it. I can just laugh about it and it makes everyone else.
Well, that's why
breaks the tension in the room.
It's one of the most, incredible things about comedy in general is we get to look at topics like that, and there are people that are very skilled that have the ability to write jokes and make an entire room of people at the same time come together, laugh at it. Yeah. Nobody's trivializing it. Nobody walks away from it going, fuck those kids. Everyone goes, they walk away from it still going, what a sad, tragic thing. But,
if it's more clever and funny than it is tragic, then it's great.
200 people get to go and fucking smile And there's something positive that came out of a tragedy. That is truly something positive. And those people go out and they affect other people's lives in a very real way.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and tell me that there's nothing valuable in writing jokes about dark, fucked up subject matter.
I think it's actually the opposite, where people say that you don't take it so seriously. It's like, if you don't take the topic seriously, then there wouldn't be a joke to it. Like, and you're reliant on the fact that it's a serious
and motherfucker,
topic.
Let me tell you something, man. You know, to go and write jokes about something, you know, that serious and to examine it that way, you're looking at it in a much deeper way than the people that are clicking on Facebook articles, or not even clicking on the articles, just reading the headlines and moving on and having their opinions. You're looking at it from multiple angles. I talk about this all the time, you know, about, you know, how comedy is therapeutic. I talk about my dad dying, my mom dying. You know, on these podcasts, I talk about really fucked up things and things that have happened in my life and other people's lives. And I'm talking about them in a very honest way, in a very open way. And I think that because of that, I'm looking at it in a lot of different angles. And if I didn't have these outlets, I would probably push it down, or I'd have to go to a therapist or whatever else I would have to do. So, you know, not to get all fucking preachy, but no, there's real positivity in that. And I think that it should be noted.
There are benefits to calling people gay.
100%.
To call people gay and retarded. And
Chris Crespo's number one example of that, being able to laugh at, one, being gay, and also being able to laugh at something tragic.
His horrible disability.
Is that somebody's fantasy? Is that somebody's fantasy? Armless?
A gay cripple?
A gay cripple? Yeah, it has to.
Jesus Christ.
It has to be, right? Somebody's got to, like, because if there was a chick, can you do me a favor?
Nothing better than a glory hole in the big stall.
Yeah.
I hooked up with a girl with one arm, and she was a fucking smoke show. And she had whatever, same thing with Chris, because I don't know what happened to Chris.
She's like one of those hot surfer girls who got bitten off by a shark or something.
Yeah. No. She had the thing where it wasn't fully formed. It wasn't fully developed.
Yeah, that was Sandy. Chris was born like that, and they kind of like tied it off at the end when he was a kid, and that's why they're like all twisted at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Metzger has a great joke about that, about the girl, because I hooked up with a girl in front of Metzger. Everyone's trying to hook up with this girl.
Yeah.
And he goes, it looked like, because they're like, she had two little fingers poking out of her elbow. He said it looked like if you pulled on her fingers, there was a whole other foot of good arm in there and you could pull it out.
It's like an umbrella.
Yeah.
Like the magician pulling the handkerchiefs out of the mouth.
and then he goes, he's like, I didn't even feel bad for her. I feel bad for her friend who wasn't that hot, but she had two normal Christian arms.
Yeah.
And nobody gave a fuck about her. And she was just sitting there all sad because everyone's still trying to fuck her friend with one arm.
Yeah. Or like if me and Chris do a roast or a show together and then like the girls go up to him after and just,
that's
like,
ridiculous. Yeah. Has that ever happened to you? Because you guys are truly best friends.
Yeah, we have.
And he's way better looking than you. Yeah. If it was a headshot, pull up Chris Crespo's.
He's still, well, that's the thing also.
He's
like
way more handsome than you.
The rest of his body's kind of messed too. He has like the downward pointing eye, and he's got like a fucked up head also. I know.
Do you wear sleeveless shirts just to really get it in on him?
We have said before, I think I roasted him for his birthday like 3 years ago, and I said we would go on towards the original limbs of comedy. Mm. One doesn't have sleeves, the other doesn't need them.
I love the term good Christian arms, because you need two regular arms to fit on the cross. Yeah.
Or to pray.
Or to pray.
Let's see, pull up Chris. Well, I want to see like a headshot. Like, let's see his face.
Don't get him with the Mets hat. That's him at his worst.
Chris Crespo.
There's not a lot of pictures.
There he is with Matt.
There he is with Matt at the New York Comedy Club. How many times have you guys roasted each other?
Like, what, 8 or 9 times? Jeez, probably at this point. Yeah.
Does it ever? I mean, I guess it just, you know, this is what you do.
Yeah,
it's
what
a
we were
challenge.
Saying. Yeah, exactly. Because at Fight Club, I roast our panel of officials. He's our official mascot on the show every week.
Chris lost count after 3.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Shannon, give us a tidbit about you. Give us a fact. Well, because for me, I would always look. I think there needs to be silly jokes. This Mike Lawrence gave me advice when I was writing for because I've done, you know, probably 7 or 8 roast battles at this point, and I did it on TV. And you know, Lawrence is just a fucking killer. He's a monster at it. And the advice that he said, this is when Twitter was 140 characters. He said, write your jokes on Twitter. So he was like, fit them into 140 characters. He was like, that's the perfect amount of length. Any longer than that is too long, right? And then he also said, he was like, always come out with something silly like about what like they look like to kind of make it like kind of fun and like, you know, but clever. He was like, and then go really fucking cut deep.
Yeah.
Like after that. And the second or third joke always cut really fucking deep.
Yeah.
And that was sort of his format.
Build to it.
So I would always look for something to cut deep. So I think the go-tos are always like dead family members, dead parents. Do you guys ask anything? Like Matt, yep. If you were roasting Shannon now, you have her sitting down, you're at a fucking, you know, you're trying to impress her, so you brought her to like a fucking, I don't know, like a Blimpies or whatever. And she
that
she,
is where I take girls when I want to impress them.
I know. That's also what
that
we call the girls you take
know
get, take
the
there.
Blimpies are.
What would you ask her? What would be the type of questions you would ask her?
I think for the most part, people I've roasted have done roasts before, so I just ask like any information about basic information. Most people kind of know what to give for a roast.
Well,
I guess
the thousands and thousands of people listening to the podcast
don't roast. Yeah, I guess if you were roast someone and you didn't know them at all, ask about their family. I wouldn't say go in and say anyone dead. That wouldn't be a good opener.
Oh, I would. I really, yeah. I literally like. All right, first of all. Parents, dead or alive? Shannon?
Alive.
Both of them are alive? Yep. Any troubling sickness in their recent past?
Nope.
Damn it.
That was exactly how Kim asked me about my family, though, when we roasted each
Perfect.
Other. She just said that. She's like, any illnesses or deaths in the family, which... I mean, I've done enough time. If someone who,
let's get real. Why are we beating around the bush?
Well, I mean, if someone who's listening who's never done a roast before, they may not respond well to it. No, I mean, if they're listening to this podcast, probably they would.
They don't care. Yeah.
I think the way to go about it is you give your shit first.
Yes. There
so,
you
like,
go.
I give all my tragic, sad shit.
That's
and
true.
And then that way, even if they weren't going to tell me that shit, now
they
kind of
feel
obligated.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea.
Unless you run into a complete sociopath. It's just like, okay.
JP McDade.
Yeah, then they message me back that they're tall and Irish. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
That's how you win.
What would you tell them, Zach? What would you tell Shannon now? Like, Shannon, these are the things about you that are roastable and you think that are...
Oh, I always go, grandfather drowned in a creek behind his house. Dad left when I was 13. Mom works at Olive Garden since I'm in high school. And yeah, just shit like that.
That's great that your grandfather was a homeowner. Yeah, creek, he had bodies of water and shit. There's nothing to make fun of.
So, okay, so Shannon, give us some things. So, give me something. All right, so your parents are both in good health. They're together.
Yep.
Where are you from originally?
Brooklyn. Okay.
Which punk bands have you been a groupie for?
None.
Which ones?
No.
That's a lie.
It's true. No, you could use my domestic violence. You could use that.
Oh, shit. She's done a lot of domestic violence.
Yeah, yeah. She hits people.
That's what those dick nunchucks are for. Those are Shannon. She beat the shit out of her boyfriend.
She shoots him out of her pussy, actually. It's crazy. So she's been beat up before in the past. Yeah.
And she looks kind of Middle Eastern, so there could be something there with that.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, here's the... But also, like, I think that sort of combining topics as
well.
Exactly,
yep.
Sort of hitting her on two or three different things. So I would go, okay, pink hair... Okay, then I would start thinking of pink songs. I would literally go through a list of pink songs and see how I could relate like a pink song to her being abused.
Then she shows up at the battle with green hair.
Imagine if I showed up next week just
with
sleeves. Yeah, exactly.
It's over.
I'd throw everyone off.
Everyone would literally just fucking throw their fucking papers down.
Yeah, I walked in like 2 weeks ago when I did Roast Masters and JP was sitting down and I had my hair tied back because I just came from work and he was like,
no.
He was like, wait, your hair's back. What happened?
He's got to go teach judo or something.
Yeah.
So Shannon, your ex-boyfriend beat you up.
Yeah.
You dated a guy in what?
Rough Riders.
She dated one of the Rough Riders. He would just do that in your face a bunch.
Yeah.
Until you started crying and ran off stage.
Damn.
That's my battle technique.
Worn out like a Timberland or something.
Okay, so let's take some of these fucking things here now. What do we know about Shannon already? Okay, we know that she's got pink hair.
Yeah.
Okay, she is a 7. She's
got fake boobies.
She's got fake boobs. She's been involved in multiple domestic disputes with ex-boyfriends who do steroids. She's got tattoos, fake tan.
No, that's not true.
Fake tan, fake lips, fake tits.
So I would do.
By the way, all that are the things that I look for where I'm like, okay, that bothers her a little bit.
Yeah.
Like one of the best jokes I had for Christina Hutchinson, it was like, I said, I was like, Christine, I would tell you to stop drawing on your eyebrows, but it's the only time you write.
That's good.
And it's just like, it's a perfect joke for a chick, right?
Yeah.
Because it's attacking her on writing, right?
Because
that's like a thing that like chicks are self-conscious about. Just no matter how much they write in comedy, they don't want to be told that they're not good writers, whatever. And then a chick who I'm literally looking at these fucking penciled on eyebrows where she takes an hour. There's no, I'm telling you, I'm looking at these eyebrows where they're so fucking done.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know this is something she fucking cares about. So I thought of that and I was like, that's a perfect fucking roast joke that's short and sweet. It's not like talking about her dead parents or dead relatives, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's like if you saw a guy before a battle cleaning his sneakers with a toothbrush.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Yana, stop.
Yeah. Like, I think so. Shannon's dated guys who did steroids, has breast implants, and claims to be sexually assaulted. Everything's fake about her.
Perfect. Boom. Kills. Done. Yeah. What else? Zach, you have anything on her?
Well, I'm going to do what I always do, which is cannibalize my own material. And I would probably do Purple Penis Eater or Purple Penis Beater.
Purple Penis Beater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
sense.
That's, I have a lot, of, because I'm doing Fight Club every week. There's like stuff I'll reuse for other people or repurpose on people.
Oh, if they're your jokes, you can do that. That's completely within the rules.
I mean, I wouldn't like at the stand when the video's on YouTube. Once it's on YouTube and has like
thousands
of views.
Yeah, once there's a video on it, that's it. There's a video on it. You kind of can't like, you know, you can't reuse it. But, you know, the fake tits thing would be fucking huge. That'd be huge. I would just squeeze them on stage. It's sexually assault her on stage.
When in doubt, sexual assault.
I did one against someone else a couple months ago that a boob job looks like the only job she's ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. So wait, hold on. What are some Rough Rider songs? I don't know if there's any famous enough songs.
Rough Rider's Anthem. All the DMX albums.
DMX. So, I mean, I might do something about...
Because they need dogs around. Like, that's why she's dating people.
Yeah, I might look for a connection between DMX...
Who let the dog out?
The drug DMX. Or is it
DMT?
DMT.
No, isn't there, like, another one that used to make off out of, like, cough syrup? Or something?
That's just syrup.
Scissor. No, I think there was something else. There's something else. Anyway, all right, maybe not. I wouldn't. Guys, this is why I don't roast battle. Yeah. This is why these guys are all the fucking pros.
Now we know why somebody flips the coin.
Yeah.
It's literally the only thing you can't do better than me.
I know, I'm horrible at it.
Yeah, you're fucking... Have you ever seen Zach try to flip a coin? It's...
No. I don't know. In what context would I have seen that?
When I host for him.
He fills in sometimes, which you're going to be doing on March 27th when I'm in L.A., he'll flip the coin sometime.
Yeah, my brain shuts off.
Yeah, Shannon, do me a favor. Let's pull up. I told Kay Vazzi we would write some roast jokes for him really quick, too. And
it would be funny if
this.
You had Chris Crespo come when we are your hosting as the official coin flipper and just have him drop it on the floor and whatever it lands on.
Yeah. Let's see.
It'd be the worst coin flipper and the worst at picking it up.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a while, guys.
He actually has two official flippers.
Yeah.
That would be his name.
Yeah, two coin official flippers.
All right, so this is our buddy Kay Vazzi, who is the fucking man.
Oh, we got a full dossier on this.
Yeah, he gave us a bunch of stuff. He's from Tampa, Florida. Parents did not die, but they... See, because I asked him.
The fuck does that mean? My parents did not die, but they might as well be dead.
They stink. His dad left when he was 3 years old, and he grew up with an overbearing U.S. Marine Corps Vietnam vet.
How does he know if his dad's dead or not if his dad left him?
Yeah, well, his dad might be the coolest guy on Earth now. They like to choke him out whenever he could. Wow.
Jesus Christ. This guy grew up in the background of a Bubba Sparks video. The fuck is this life?
My mother just turned her back and let it happen. Good times. I grew up angry, always in fist fights, and started martial arts when I was 11 up until I was 17.
This actually isn't roast material. This is his application to be the president of the Luis J. Gomez fan club.
Yeah, what are your credentials?
This is the worst Tinder profile I've ever read.
No, he actually is the president of the Luis J. Gomez fan club. He's like my number one fan. He's the man. Throughout high school, I surfed, skateboarded, played drums in a death metal band, and played soccer. I was never home. I ran the streets with my friends, drank like a fish, and still couldn't tell you about my first 2 years in high school. Favorite movies, Constantine, John Wick 1 and 2. Oh, God, you stink. Kay Vazzi. Full Metal Jacket, Afro Samurai, Ghost in a Shell. Ran all
the
Spartan races.
Man, this guy's like an expert at not fucking. This is amazing.
Ran all the Spartan races as a clown. I love comedy and sick motherfuckers. I'm a father of 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. 2 of which he molests. Not going to tell you which ones. His oldest is a U.S. Airman, currently active duty, so it's not him. It's the other two.
The lesson here is don't abandon your kids, or they may get into surfing.
Yeah.
He molested him so much that he learned to fly to get away.
Yeah.
Yeah. After all that, the most embarrassing thing is the fact that he surfs. So yeah, here's Kay Vazzi. He's got his tattoos. I mean, a lot.
Oh man.
So much roast. When you see that, you get that email from a guy you're going to roast. you're saying, like, this is gold. There's, like, a lot there, right?
Yeah.
If I do too good of a job, this guy's going to find me.
Yeah.
Let's see. Go back
up
to the facts.
He's going to be in my bushes with a knife.
Go back up to the facts. So, I mean, look, my first thing would be Full Metal Jacket would be something that would stand out because I think it's a great – and know the
Full
movie.
Full Metal Jack Off.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a Marine Corps. That makes sense. Yeah.
He saw them beat the shit out of that one slow guy in Full Metal Jacket, and he's like, this is the life for me. If I could beat up a retarded guy and be called a hero, I'm signing
up. He got into the Marines when he heard that there was a sexual assault problem.
Yeah, let me think.
He seems like a guy who says tactical a lot.
He skateboarded. He played drums. I mean, he really is me.
Yeah.
He's just kind of cool. What do you want me to say? I can't really roast a guy who
like
I think is awesome.
He's like if Rob Zombie directed Forrest Gump. The way his life is.
Let's see. What else did he do? He surfed. So, I mean, you know, you kind of almost look for like the wordplay things too, right? Or the different types of clowns. Like, what are different clowns that are out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go with something trying to come up with a clown, then do a play on words for the clown specifically. I don't know enough clowns.
Something about how clowns like used to be like rapist fugitives.
There you go.
And now they still are, or something like that.
I'm actually my Google searches when I do roasts are insane. I'm like looking like I would look up some like famous clowns.
Yeah, exactly what you do. You start to look up like famous clowns.
John Wayne
clowns.
Gacy and all that stuff.
Yeah. And then you would
puts the gay in John Wayne Gacy.
Very funny. You would start to look up famous clowns. You would start to look up like all of the references from like Full Metal Jacket, you would start to put a
ICP.
List of them out.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely an ICP.
I've been looking
reference.
Up famous disabled people for years just to make fun of Chris.
Yeah.
What's his K-Bozzy, right?
Yeah, K-Bozzy.
He has 3 children, one of whom is in the Marine Corps, so he doesn't wear a bag, but one of his sons is going to come back in one.
There you go.
That is a very much a Zach Amico style joke, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great, hoping that his child is going to die. Incredible, you know?
I think you go the darkest.
Yeah.
Of all the people who...
Yeah, Zach. And that can backfire on you as well, because sometimes the crowd's like, whoa, what the fuck? That has
to be... But it's the biggest risk-reward thing. Like, it can pay off huge when it's a good joke, and it often is.
Yeah, so that was great against massive. Rosebud, where... I'm trying to remember the wording of it exactly,
Did you do 50 pounds soaking wet? Was that No, that was... I think it was Dina. Yeah, I get these Dina. Two. I get the two you can...
Yeah, that was Dina.
But yeah, that's a great ones.
Yeah, what else about K-Vazi? Pull up the facts about him again.
Where does K-Vazi come from? That would probably be one of my jokes. I would come up with an origin for the name K-Vazi, and it would be something stupid.
Right. Let's see. He did sort of martial arts when he was 11 up until he was 17.
So he could learn how to beat his kids. He had them when he was 11.
I would look for the connection because that's the time when kids masturbate the most as well. So I would talk about beating his dick. I would try to figure out a connection there. When I write a roast joke, I kind of look for like the connection or the pun. Like I see his favorite movie is John Wick 1 and 2. You could light a wick. I start to think of things like you know. I immediately start to go there, right? Or he likes Ghost in a Shell. I don't even know what is that movie.
That's I think it's like anime, right?
Shit. Oh, yeah. That's fucking horse shit. Or, but I would kind of go with, like, the Jap animation angle, I guess. I don't know. This isn't good. This segment's not going as good as I thought it would. I figured we'd come up with fucking riff ideas.
We've kind of realized that writing roast jokes is mostly sitting in silence.
It really is, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
I didn't realize that in the at the time, but that's really what it is. You start to fucking sit in your head and like think. And you
it really
type,
is like, what about this thing that is not funny at all right now, and then you maybe eventually write a joke about it.
Yeah.
Well,
do you guys write
funny.
Forwards or backwards? Do you guys write backwards mostly?
Yeah, think of the punchline first. And then
a lot of, for the most part, I'd say
I'm stealing Evan Williams' anecdote here, but he was telling me that when he was writing for Chaplin, I think the second time, he was like, he was up late and just was losing his mind. He's like, okay, Scott's made of wood. What are the jokes about him being made of wood? He's like, Pinocchio or something. He's like, oh yeah, Scott's not made of wood. I don't know where that idea came from. You can really lose your mind.
Oh yeah.
That's hilarious.
Fucked up monk.
Shit. Yeah. But sometimes it's even something like that. You see people do this where they don't even... I kind of watch... Maddie's really good at this. Maddie writes a joke where she doesn't... It's not even about the person. She'll write the joke about like... a saying, and she'll make it fit for the person, right? Yeah. So whatever it is that, you know, they say, life hangs a lemon. Yeah,
what did she have in her last round?
What was that joke? That was actually a joke, I think, that somebody had said.
Against Pedro.
She did it against Pedro. Dress for the job you want. I don't remember what the punchline was.
Yeah, he wants to be a fucking homo, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right? So it's almost like...
I've done stuff like that before where I'm they say good things last forever, so his comedy career will die young. Or and the opposite, like, something like that.
Sort of almost work for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's other times where, like, you'll think of a roast joke and you go, like, I'm just going to write that down because I'm going to roast a black guy with one leg at one point. And to be honest with you, I'm going to need this.
Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. He's out there.
Three-fifths. Math problem.
Graded hip-hop.
Just the hop.
Ah, fuck. All right. Anything else on K-Vazi, guys? We got anything else? He fucking wrote and all this stuff about himself.
Thanks, K-Vazi. Anything else we could make? That's pretty cool of you to send in shit.
Make fun of about him and his family.
I think the ultimate thing to roast him is if he put all this effort into sending this, and then we just don't have anything good for him.
He said some funny stuff. You know, we made fun of him.
You could just 8 Mile him by like, yeah, you're a fan of me. That's pathetic.
Yeah,
that's not making fun of him at all.
Turn it on yourself.
That's you 8 Miling him through me. That's right. You just shitting on me, JP. Well, that's not the way it works. You can't tell somebody else to 8 Mile somebody. That's you just shitting on them to their face.
Damn it. Saw right through my ploy.
Yeah. So, okay.
Always in fist fights. I just love the phrasing of that.
Always in fist fights.
Love you, K-Vazi. Gentlemen, I want to just take 1 second to talk about one of our incredible sponsors, which is Beachbody On Demand. You know, here's the thing. I'm going to Jamaica on Thursday. I'm trying to look fucking great, okay? Everyone right now, it's the end of the winter time. It is the quiet before the storm. If you're trying to look good this summer and this spring, okay, I know, here's the thing. It's difficult to get motivated. I deal with it personally. You know, JP, you've never worked out a day in your life. You know,
you son of a bitch.
You're very skinny.
I do Tai Bo every day.
No, you don't. Do you do anything? Do you do anything to work out?
I go in phases. I hit the gym.
Googled Tai Bo.
Yes. Matt, you tell me you've lost some weight in the past, right?
Yeah, I've gone, when I was wrestling, it was in the gym every day. And since then, I've kind of, if I'm getting fat, I'll start dieting. And now I weightlift, but I'm not like
as
strict. Yeah, I'm not as strict as I used to be. But I always try and like, if I'm seeing it's looking bad, start dieting.
That's it, dude. Look, we all know this. We got to fucking get back in shape. And Beachbody On Demand, they make it easy. Because look, dude, getting to the gym, motivating, looking for different things to do. That's my biggest thing, is that I've gone through so many different workout programs. I sort of come into these times when I don't know what to do. I know what to do in the gym, but I'm sort of... You sort of get bored. Your body gets used to it. You don't see the same type of results. So Beachbody On Demand, they've developed an online fitness streaming service that gives you unlimited access to a wide variety of highly effective, world-class workouts personalized to meet your needs. So basically, they have over 600 different types of workouts, things you've heard of like P90X, Insanity, T25, 3-Week Yoga Retreat, and then a bunch of other crazy shit you haven't heard of, things that you need equipment for, things you don't need equipment for, things you can do in your hotel room or your bedroom, things that you can go to the gym and actually do. There's a lot of different variety, which is the important part. You hear about things like muscle confusion. This is it, baby. You can do a different workout every single day for 2 years straight, not even have to think about it, and you haven't even touched a tenth of the content that's available on the app, because each one of these workouts have tons of different workouts available, right? So here's the deal, dude. The best shape, and I really mean this, the best shape I've ever been in my entire life, okay? Fuck going to the gym. Fuck going and hitting, you know, Equinox every day, which I still do. It was when I was doing, Insanity. Yeah. Dude, when I did Insanity, I'm fucking telling you, I had abs of steel. It was... 6-day-a-week workout. It was super cardio-intensive, but it was 30 minutes a day. I was doing it at home. My son's mother did it right after she had my son. She got back. Dude, if you see my son's mother, she looks fucking great in a bikini to this day. I will tell you right now, it's in part to the fact that she was so motivated and this program made it super easy for her. They have everything available on this program. And check this shit out. The best part of all of it, right? You get it on your phone, you get it on your tablet, you get it on your smartphone, TV, whatever you need. Get it in your hotel room, get it at home. The best part of all of it is we're going to give you a free try. Free try, motherfuckers. Text REAL, R-E-A-L, to 303030. Text REAL to 303030. You're going to get full access to the entire platform for free. All of the workouts plus nutritional information, because everyone knows, dude, we talk about this all the time on the show. You got to be eating healthy. You got to do the low carbs. You got to do the low sugar. They give you as much nutritional information as you guys fucking need. Dude, I'm telling you right now, it's no bullshit. It's free. If you don't like it, you don't even got to keep the membership. As simple as that. Text REAL to 303030. It's an amazing program. I'm telling you right now, I live by this. I've the best shape I've ever been in my entire life. It was when I was using Insanity. This is one of the many, many programs you guys can use on Beachbody On Demand. I'm literally motivating myself right now. I want to go work out in Ralph's living room as we speak. But all right, whatever. Let's get back into the show. Real quick, let's talk about this. I haven't even opened my notes yet. This is how good the show's going, Shannon. Sometimes I don't even get to my notes.
We're about to talk about the Syrian refugee crisis.
Dude, this is a new show, so.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's do this. Shannon, we need a new drop for this because we only have a Real Ass Dude of the Week drop. And I feel like when it's a woman, it's a little disrespectful to them when we call it Real Ass Dude of the Week. So
to dudes. Real Vagina Dude of the Week.
No, that's ridiculous, dude. These are women. Dude. We're also feminists on this show.
That's a politically correct term. Person. Yeah. The vagina dude.
You guys be serious for a minute. We're not. We're trying to respect women on the show, as we always do. So I think, Shannon, I need you to make a Real Ass Cunts of the Month drop, if you could.
That's perfect that it's a month, because it's like a cycle.
It's very rare that it's that a woman gets the honor, so I'm not going to, like, you know, once a month is a lot.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Shannon. So, real, we could give him Real Ass Dude of the Week anyway. These bitches.
He's a real ass dude.
These bitches are pretty hardcore. Where was this, Shannon?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
The Paris of Oklahoma.
This guy comes in, tries to rob this liquor store. Mom and daughter team, play the video.
There's already a gun out.
Following video continues.
A man armed with a shotgun trying to rob a liquor store. Well, the owners weren't having it. The owner
fucking
and her daughter
Jews.
Pulled out their own guns. I'm going to show you the video, but I do want to warn you, it is quite graphic. This was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Police say Tyrone Lee came into the store.
He's got his big black dick out.
And they're armed. He went behind the counter, left and came back. And that is when mom and her daughter.
They became suspicious when they
guns.
Realized he was black.
At first, they said, I bet his name is Tyrone.
Look, I mean,
he had one leg.
He was walking. No, his name isn't Tyrone Lee. They were just like, he was walking kind of Tyrone Lee. We became suspicious.
He was sort of Jamal like, Tyrone Lee. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm going for? God, this is the
gun,
brother.
Sawed off 12 gauge.
Mr. Lee is shot several times by the owners, and he's still going. He's running on adrenaline at this point. He's able to then overpower her.
Rip the gun out of her hand and pistol whip my mom.
Awesome.
You know, my sister, of course, was, putting rounds in him.
That's I was jerking cool. off the
Look
whole
at this, dude.
Time.
He comes at the mom. The Look, starts hitting his mom. Starts hitting the mom. Boom.
Shot.
Boom. She's shooting this motherfucker.
Police believe he's connected to 10 other robberies in the area.
Doggy, she is shooting this motherfucker. How hardcore is that?
Wow. That's a real ass cunt.
That's a real ass cunt of the month, doggy. You can't disrespect her. Thanks, Shannon.
And that guy's a veteran robber, too. They said it was like his 10th robbery that month.
Yeah, dude.
Good for them. Should have known to get out of there.
Yeah. Good for them. You know, what are you going to do? But I almost feel like I really do feel like if he would have gotten away, good for him, you know?
Yeah.
It's survival of the fittest in this world.
Yeah. I mean, if he got shot, what did they say, 10 times and he's still going after the mom? Once you get shot 9-10 times, then you decide to attack a grandma.
Yeah. He starts fucking beating her in the face with a gun.
Yeah.
These women didn't even know that he was like the final boss in the liquor store robbery video game. Yeah. You know what? So many times.
As I'm talking about this, I'm realizing he's sort of the Real Ass Dude of the Week.
Yeah.
You know, fuck it, Shannon. Tyrone Lee. Real Ass Dude of the Week.
Tyrone's got no quit in him.
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's real. He's a real ass dude.
The amount of real assness that was spilling out of that liquor store in that moment. I mean, dude, nonsense, just fucking back and forth.
That was Hennessy.
Dougie, come on, dude. The mom and the daughter are hardcore shit. Yeah. Tyrone Lee's a hardcore motherfucker who's just going. Dude, he starts pistol whipping her grandmother.
That's like a Quentin Tarantino scene.
Yeah, dude.
There's just people yelling the N-word, lots of gunfire.
Dude, nobody fucking...
Well, that's the thing, you know, if like it comes out that like she yelled out the N-word at him, all of a sudden all the people who were against him hitting the old lady will be like, oh, maybe it makes sense
she
now.
Had it
yeah.
Yeah.
All that video is missing is a vampire.
Listen, that was a fucking great... that was a great little thing right there. But I am in a weird... in a weird way, I've always kind of said that. You know, if you can get away with it, more power to you, doggy.
What, stealing or hitting a grandma?
Really everything.
Yeah.
I have a general philosophy.
You know, but if you get caught beating your grandmother in the face with a gun, dog, you also deserve to go to jail for 30 years.
You can't wait to go to prison and tell everyone about what you're in for.
Well, I mean, look, the fact that he got Real Ass Dude of the Week honors, he's probably going to be like, dude, is that the Real Ass Dude of the Week, Tyrone Lee?
No, that's the other Tyrone Lee in this cell block.
Yeah. Like, which one? Yeah.
Tyrone, you won Real Ass Dude of the Week. 80 guys go, yes!
God.
Look, it's a Christian alt-right program. Okay, that's... That's what we do on the show. We make fun of blacks. Sometimes we do that, okay?
It's the Christian thing to do.
It really is. Look, I have a new segment. I want to... Shannon, and I really mean this. I'm saying this, Shannon, and by Wednesday show, I want to have these drops made. Real Ass Cunt of the Month and new segment. And this is a working title. I'm willing to work on this if you want to change the name of it. We talk about this a lot on the show, okay? We've come up... We've had guests come on. And if you guys have any, I would love you to share as well. But a lot of times guests come on, and me personally, I've known to be a little bit of a huckster and a little bit of a scam artist, right? So they've shared scams that they've done in the past, and I think that, you know, just anything little to get free food, free fucking bus trip, you know, free subway ride, whatever it is, whatever you need, okay?
Yeah,
free subway sandwich.
Yeah,
before free subway ride. There's things you could do out there, and we've talked about it a lot on the show. So we had a fan send in. A scam, and I decided that we're going to do a new segment. And if you guys want to join us, you can shoot us an email. What's the email they should email us at, Shannon?
Wait, is it to you?
I want to go to you. I don't want to be bothered.
Shannon at gasdigitalnetwork.com.
Shannon at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Send her whatever you'd like. But specifically, if you'd like to join this segment,
let's clarify that. Send her whatever scam you'd like.
Yeah, send her whatever you want.
No, guys, really be creative. But either way,
I have this great scam where I send pictures of my dick to a podcast producer.
You get to do it for free.
I want you to send Shannon, if you have a scam that you think is fun and we could share on the show, if it's a good enough scam, we will share it. And this one wasn't great, but I did want to introduce this segment. This is sort of not a great scam.
Okay.
This one that this guy sent in's just okay.
From Tyrone, when you're out of money,
beat a grandma.
You might get shot 9 or 10 times.
Oh, shit.
But if you're a real ass dude, you can take it.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Right here. I'm gonna pull it up, Shannon, over here. Okay, I got it.
I have it ready if you want me to read
it. No, because I want... Do you want to read it?
It's up to you.
Oh, you can read it. Go ahead. I talk too much.
Okay, it's from Mason. Hey, Louis J. Last night I was at a friend's getting fried, and on my way home, I found myself in a McDonald's looking to engorge myself. I get to the drive-thru window to pick up
the food.
That's
a weird way to
engorge yourself.
And that just means that your dick's hard.
Yeah, he's just trying to get hard.
He meant gorge himself.
Trying to fuck a Frosty or a shake, whatever.
Yeah.
McFlurry.
Go ahead.
I get to the drive-thru window to pick up the food and ask for a honey mustard in addition to the meal. The woman says that'll be 29 cents. At this point, I'm just annoyed, and whatever this whole new fee is for fucking condiments.
By the way, let me just pause you right here. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
To charge for condiments.
Popeyes does it.
Dog, if you buy something there and you're spending a few dollars, just give the fucking condiment. With the message that it sends, right?
Yeah.
Like, how much of a condiment loss are you really seeing, McDonald's? You know, I mean, and it just sends a very unpersonal, like, fuck you message. Like, I don't give a fuck about you. And that's not what McDonald's supposed to be. McDonald's supposed to be fucking
don't
smiles.
Ask if I want ketchup with my fries. Of course I want ketchup with my fries.
Yeah, I don't really eat ketchup with my McDonald's fries. I do
you're
sweet and sour sauce.
But, okay, well.
I do sweet and sour sauce.
I'll allow it.
And if they try to charge me for that sweet and sour
you
sauce.
You do look like you'd be a bouncer at a McDonald's in charge of the condiment station.
And they'd make him dress up as a French fry.
Wear a security shirt. One. You get one. Two napkins.
You know, it's,
and he'd hold out his hand like for the tip, like the bouncers at strip clubs in the bathroom.
I give them shit every time. I give them shit every time. Actually, this is actually a better scam than I thought. Because now that I'm thinking about this, I think about the amount of arguments that I've been in McDonald's or fast food restaurants where I'm going, I'm not giving you 30 cents. I just spent $12 on fucking food, so give me the thing.
You just haggle with them?
I don't haggle. That's tell them, I strong arm it. I strong arm it out of them. I say, give me the fucking sauce.
Yeah.
You fucking piece of shit.
Do they just give it to you and not care about it? I'm
99%
sure.
of the time.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get some ghetto dude who like, this is what happens, right? One out of every 10 times you try to strong arm somebody for McDonald's sauce or Wendy's sauce or whatever.
Yeah.
You get a guy who's just like me on the other side of it, who takes it very personally.
He starts a podcast about the incident.
Yes. He's just like, no, he really fucking, you get a guy who takes it very personally and starts to work himself up like he's being disrespected.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a whole fucking pissing contest. Great. And that's how World Star started. That was the first World Star video, was a guy like me arguing with another guy like me about sauce.
That's how that video with the grandma and Tyrone started.
Yes. He just wanted some sauce.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't going to give a shit. And they shouldn't give a shit.
They shouldn't. That's the point. But why would you? It's a company policy. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So fuck it, right? They're not going to risk their job. Fine. This is his plan.
I didn't have any change in my car, so I go, I don't suppose I can pay with my card. And out of frustration, they just give you the sauce anyway. Tip to my fellow skankaroos out there. Just say you want to pay for the sauce by card because you're already at the window at this point, and they'll just say fuck it and give you the sauce anyway. Enjoy.
That's nobody's taking that card.
If you gotta make something a little bit more inconvenient for someone, then that's an opportunity.
Be pleasant. Every time. Smile.
Yeah.
Smile like, oh, yeah, of course. Not a problem here. Here, I have to pay with the card. That's weird. It's a little weird that you guys you're going to be paying more of a processing fee to pay this car to pay for this for card than you're making off your sauce.
Yeah.
So have fun. You know what? Then good. Worst case scenario, you pay for it with your card and you fuck over the corporation because they lose money on that transaction.
Yeah.
That's just math.
That's unbelievable.
That's real ass math.
That's real ass fucking. By the way, so you guys know that's the actual applause from a Hitler rally.
Really?
We only take our sound effects from fun tragedies.
Yeah.
From great roasters.
Yeah. That's
one of the best. The OG original roaster, Hitler doggy. That's an idea that I have as well that I want to do. I want to do roast battles where everyone dresses up as characters and then they roast each other.
Well, Renan Hirschberg has a show like that.
Well,
he runs out the creek. So you can buy him out.
Never mind. Fuck
yeah. I had an idea of like a game show called Guess That Riot, where you just have like riots and you have to guess if it's like the Eagles win the Super Bowl or like some like awful like white nationalist thing or like a Ferguson, Missouri or hilarious. The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Which
it's always
one is
the Eagles
win
the Super Bowl every single time.
Yeah.
They're just spraying black people and with fire hoses and dogs are barking at them.
Yeah, and you just have to guess which
Eagles
one.
Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, did a hockey team lose the Stanley Cup or did a black kid get shot?
Well, there would be no black people. No black.
Oh, that's true. That's true. It wouldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck it. The name of the segment is the working title: Scam That Jew. And it's not anti-Semitic. Okay, it's just it's factual.
Yeah. I mean, is it all Jews that are making the 29 cent?
No, it's scam.
Or is it all Jews that are trying to scam to get the 29 cents?
Right, it's scam that, Jew.
Like, yeah.
It's up for your interpretation.
Oh, there you go. I like this. Yeah.
One of the chosen people.
It's up for your interpretation.
Yeah.
If that makes you more comfortable, that's what it is. Whatever it is to you. God, I'm so deep and philosophical. Yeah. I really am, guys. Thank you for pointing
that
out.
Thank you, Petey, for the philosophical blunts.
Yeah, yeah. I am smoking this one to the head.
Yeah.
Petey, Diabrew. And his amazing show, Better Days Comedy, at Better Days, 9 p.m. every Wednesday, competing with the Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not a big deal, Petey. We're not going to hold it against you, my friend. all right. If you guys have any segments, email them to Shannon. Do you guys have any scams? Do you guys have anything?
I did that thing when I was in college. I'd go to my dining hall, and like they just did – it was too inconvenient to run it up with a credit card. So I would just like pull it out and like offer to pay, and then be like, nah. Well, I make $3 an hour. Go ahead. Just go get some food.
It's beautiful.
You just tip them a chicken wing or something on the way out.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, we should maybe even make a collection of all of them because there's a lot of them that we've done on the show. We did the hamburger one. I talked about the college books, right?
Yeah. You go stomp on the books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a... This
was also just what Lewis does when he sees books.
Yeah.
The Diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah. No, I didn't have any. I can't think of anything like an everyday thing. But when I was doing pro wrestling, I worked on a carnival for 3 months, and I saw the way people, like hardcore carny people, like scam people. Yeah. If you go to a carnival, you're getting scammed.
That whole thing is a scam. Every single game on it, it's a scam.
They're all rigged.
You know, look.
Or it can be, and they like talk in carny to each other and let them know when somebody may win, and then they are able to like set stuff up.
Yeah, and if you're an idiot who's going like, no, dude, I got to win that Pink Panther. I got to fucking win that Pink Panther. Like, dude, relax. You pay the $5 for the experience of playing the game and losing and trying to win this for your girlfriend and maybe winning or something, right? That's the idea. Yeah. That's part of the experience. You're not going in going like, I'm trying to get one up. Didn't they go like, the price of these fucking stuffed animals are like a fraction of the cost of the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Yeah. You worked in pro wrestling. How long did you do pro wrestling for?
About 4 years. It was my senior year of high school. I skipped my prom night and wrestled in the basement of an aerobics gym in New Rochelle.
Hilarious.
And till like spring break my senior year, I was on the carnival, and those were the last shows that I was doing. So about 4 years.
And how far into the pro wrestling world did you get?
Not very far. I'd be like on a show where maybe I'm like one of the opening matches, and the headline thing is King Kong Bundy doing an autograph signing next door, and he doesn't even want to meet the wrestlers on the show because he doesn't want to talk to any new wrestlers.
Wow.
They're just like, they keep us separate. Or I'd be on a show in the same neighborhood as another one, and a few guys would go there because they know some people, and you'd like shake hands with people who were higher up on the circuit than you.
That's cool.
So it was like
you were an open micer of wrestling.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's no...
You were making a lot of money.
Yeah, I probably broke even overall because like every show you do, you make something. But... I mean, there were some shows I did up in Vermont where I got like to semi-main event, main event, and I made money. But
how much money when you say actually made money? This is like
it was like $400-$500 for the show.
You know, when you consider you're doing what you love, it's sort of stupid. We were all doing this in middle school in our backyards, way more dangerously.
Yes,
you know, way more, you know, way more stupidly.
Oh, there were plenty of stupid people I worked. It's the indie. You know, it's no like test you have to pass to get run a wrestling show.
Yeah, there and even if there was, that like would comedy. Be a stupid test.
Exactly.
No, you're right. It is. There's no like
say they were comedy. Yeah.
There's not much of a barrier of entry. I mean, there is a little bit at least. Comedy, there's none.
Yes.
At least in pro wrestling, you have to go to school. Yeah.
You have to get booked by someone. Someone has to believe in you enough. Because there's also, in comedy, it's just you up there. You can just say whatever you want. Here, you're literally taking your life in someone else's hands. If they don't protect you, you could break someone's neck with the most basic moves.
When I was in like the 6th, 7th grade, and I didn't get why my friend John Hickey's parents hated me so much, right?
Yeah.
But then I realized this. Like, John Hickey was like a much skinnier kid than me. We were all way into pro wrestling, okay? Yeah.
The guy who shot Ronald Reagan?
Yeah. I'm older than you think. No, this kid John Hickey was fucking this kid, super cool kid. His dad was a cop, you know, cool enough family, and he had a little brother Justin Hickey and a little brother James Hickey, and they were, you know, nice, really nice kids, and they were just, you know, not scrawny, but John was like John
wiry.
Kind of, they were scrawny. They were scrawny in middle school, right? John was a scrawny
kid. That's
what
the skinny wrestlers I know call themselves, wiry.
Yeah. They were scrawny little things, okay? But then his little brothers. Now, by the way, all of these kids now, all of them. Monsters. James Hickey right now is, I think, 6'4". I mean, I almost wish you could pull him up. He's like a fucking football player, college football player. I don't even know where he plays. Like, he might look up James Hickey football. I guarantee he's fucking played for some fucking school.
How much younger than you is he? Because if you're wrestling the kid 10 years younger than you.
That's the point. So here's the thing.
They also had a sister.
Yeah.
Had. Until Liz tried to rock bottom.
Dude, we would fucking... Yeah, that's him right there in the orange, actually. Yeah. This kid was a fucking... Look at his thick fucking
neck. Look at the look in his eyes that Lewis implanted. Jesus Christ.
What does he do? Is he like a coach? Dude, this kid fucking... These kids are monsters now. Yeah. All of them. Even John Hickey, who's kind of a fucking nerdy musician now to this day.
Yeah.
He's a tall, really tall, kind of like bigger guy.
He's big. He's like a bassist.
Yeah, dude.
He's like one of the larger musicians.
And Justin, 6'3", 6'4", big fucking scary looking dude. Monster fucking kids.
Yeah.
But they were little skinny bitches. And I was always this size. In the sixth grade, I was me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was always 6 foot tall. 220 pounds.
Up kid?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And I was just fucking always big old fucking thighs, just ready to fucking rock bottom people.
Yeah.
Just a loudmouth asshole.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever not thinking this way. From the time I turned 5, and I remember the moment where I started having like memories and real thoughts, being like, oh, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life.
And then it came on, and I was always sort of me. My philosophy has always really been the same. Yeah. I was very advanced as a child, and then I slowed down right around 11 or 12, okay?
Yeah.
So I would fucking take these kids, and we would do backyard wrestling when the parents were at work. And, you know, this is the 90s, so we usually leave your 9-year-old, 8-year-old kid at home with your, you know, 12-year-old, their older brother. So it was like
and his pet Puerto Rican.
A 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and like a 12-year-old.
Kurt Loder was the babysitter.
Dude, we would fucking... Dude, I mean, I would take these kids... And I would fucking choke. I mean, literally, choke slam them. Like we would set up like pieces of wood that we would find in the woods between
like
two
the
chairs.
Really, those are dirty called trees. Pieces of wood.
I hate you, Zach. No, but like slabs of fucking like plywood.
Yep.
You know, thin, shitty wood that you people, you know, you find pieces of wood. I grew up
it's
in
got
the suburbs.
Nails in it.
Did you grow up in the suburbs?
Queens, yeah. Suburban area. Bayside, Queens.
It's a
suburb-urban
hybrid, Queens. People don't really understand. That's not the suburbs. You grew up in the fucking burbs.
I grew up in the two different kinds of suburbs, like the suburbs with the like lower middle class
with children,
kids
the suburbs without children.
Jesus Christ. Walked right into that one.
So did they.
And then like, you rat bastards. But everywhere you go, all across America, suburban America, is just kids on concrete floors and basements choke slamming each other.
Yes, the choke slam is the first one because you go, all right, dude, hold on to my wrist. Cool. Yeah. Now look, let me
you have
just,
to jump.
Just jump. Look, I'm not a superhero. I can't just pick you up. You have to jump, fuckface. Yeah. And then you grab, you slam up. Just a 7-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Slam up against the fucking wall. Be like, you can't breathe, can you? It's like, and you really can't breathe. Yeah. You don't really know how to do this in a safe way.
Yeah.
And then you slam him through this wood. We found sheetrock. We'd find like slabs of sheetrock.
Of course.
It's we didn't find them. Yeah. We'd steal them from construction sites.
Yeah.
We're not even finding them. Like these cost money, and we just crash through them.
Yeah.
We'd do stupid.
Yeah. That's
shit.
Why whenever everyone like said like, oh, I liked wrestlers, I found out it was fake. Like, you ever try and put a figure four leg lock on someone? How do you not know it's fake when you're telling your friend to jump for you?
First of all, a figure four leg lock hurts like a motherfucker.
If you get it on, but the guy's got to be dead for you to do it to him.
Yeah, but I mean, look, when you're doing it to your sister.
I'm just saying, but they like, when
I
you're
definitely
doing
put real figure four leg locks on my sister. That's the cool thing about having these little kids and a sister. Yeah. It's like they're
she walks
weak.
To the right now. She like leans.
She's now a black guy with one leg.
Dude, I would literally take my sister, and she's 2 years older than me, but she's a fucking weak chick.
Yeah.
So when I would fuck with her, I mean, you know, my sister was also a wrestling fan too, so I would like fucking, we'd be in the house fucking around. I had frying pans, I'd hit her in the head. We started getting into ECW.
Oh,
so,
that's bad.
We would do really dangerous shit.
Yeah. Right?
Can we get some barbed wire?
I remember when I first
found
like,
the windowsill.
When I first wanted to be a pro wrestler, I remember saying to my brother, look, I'm going to practice doing fake punches on you, and I just punched him right in the face.
Oh, of course.
Like, I was trying to fake it, but I just actually hit him.
Look, you ever try to, you remember the first time you tried to sell your sneakers?
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
All right. First time you throw a drop kick? To this day, I have no idea how to throw a drop kick. You can throw a drop kick.
Probably, I mean, I haven't had a match in like 6 years, but I did do drop kicks.
Well, it goes
matches,
against your natural instincts, right? So you got to get like your head down and your legs up.
I don't understand the mechanics of throwing a drop kick.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I remember doing it in high school just because we had it. There was a door that was locked that we couldn't get in, and I just like was fucking around with my friends. I was like, I'll drop kick it. And I go to like reach the window part of the door and try and kick in the window. Yeah. And of course, you have no actual power when you're doing a drop kick.
No.
So I just like hit it and just fell to the ground.
In order to hurt somebody doing a drop kick, they would have to be strapped to the hood of a truck.
Yeah.
And that truck would have to be driving towards you, and at the exact moment of your feet coming into the air, it would have to impact your feet.
Exactly.
And then it would possibly hurt the person.
Well, there's a way to do it really, really hard. It's not really like a wrestling drop kick, but there's like old videos of the army training for World War II and stuff. And they just have two guys run at each other and jump like full force, not putting your head back, but like put
almost like
your legs up
springing
just
your feet like forward, like you're sitting down.
Yeah, but you launch. It's like a 2-footed kick right in their chest.
Yeah, I guess that would kind of hurt.
I always liked in wrestling. I always liked doing. I would go to like the middle rope in the corner on the turnbuckle and do a drop kick from there because I thought it looked a little more realistic. I'm flying through the air to kick them.
Yeah, this is the guy showing how to do it.
Okay,
these are actually Matt Maron's friends.
Yes,
face obviously. The better the landing, the better the move looks, honestly.
you could have the best, most impactful dropkick in the world if you just kind of.
I'm about to do this. I'm about to dropkick Matt Maron on the show right now. By the way,
yeah, you're in the video for you.
Step one: you got to go to Modell's in 1993 and get some basketball shorts.
Look at this guy's ring in the backyard.
Yeah.
How cool is that, though?
Yeah.
I'm such a child. I don't look at him. I'm like, yes, he's a loser. Yes, these guys are fucking obviously, you know, 40-year-old virgins.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty awesome that the guy has a fucking wrestling ring.
I would get booked on shows and we'd get there and they'd look like that. And it's like the guy running the show, you're wondering like how. Like there was a ring similar to that.
Yeah.
It was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Amish country, right outside of a corn maze. They had a ring like this, like in basically not even elevated. It was just like ropes on the grass.
That's the equivalent of showing up to a comedy show and it's like in a restaurant.
Yep.
There's no lights.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it happens.
Oh, I had so many of those in wrestling.
All right, so let's get to do a drop kick. He's going to teach us. That looks good.
Yeah.
The person taking.
How good was that? Was that good?
Solid.
That looked good. Yeah.
The guy taking the fall made it look good too. Yeah.
Thing you really want to remember is to protect yourself at all times. You can put your hands in front of your face if you feel you need to. Just make sure it's not too obvious. And always make sure you bump away from the person so that they don't land on you. And the farther away from the person you can bump, the more impactful the drop kick will look anyway. So it's just going to make the move look better.
Nice. Yeah, it's all the little stuff, like the footwork and the things where he's saying fall away.
It didn't tell me how to do a drop kick. I have no idea how to do. He's like, yes, I get it. Yes, he said land good. What the fuck does it mean to land good?
I mean, that's how more injuries in pro wrestling accidents will happen than anything else, where two guys land and they hit heads on the ground because they landed facing the same way.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff that no one who's a wrestling fan cares about is the stuff that's the most important.
That makes
important.
It look good, right? Well, here's the thing. This is the truth, okay? And you're going to help me with this. I'm making you help me with
this. Okay.
Do you still have your contacts in the pro wrestling world?
Not many. There's a couple guys I may be able to reach out
to. You're helping me with this. You're reaching
back. Well, we actually, with Crespo, we're going to do a wrestler episode. We're going to teach him how to be a wrestler for
hand
jobs.
I love it.
So
I love
there's a guy who we know through that who we could reach out
to. Taking out of context, that clip sounds great. We're going to make him be a wrestler for hand jobs.
He's got a gimmick.
Zach, me and Zach have a pro wrestling tag team we've already created, Death Direction. Okay, and we want to take over the wrestling world, and I think that we could do it.
Yeah,
I think that we already have more of a following than every pro wrestler starting out.
Oh, you know? For sure.
We have an outlet. We have this show.
You're going to be like Vinny from the Jersey Shore doing comedy.
I could do whatever I want,
selling out clubs.
I could just come in and fucking that's that, and the fans will come out.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now, if I wanted to, okay. Without no questions asked, if I said to the Real Ass fans, me and Zach were going to go do a pro wrestling match, they would come out and they would fucking support
us. Oh, for sure. I'm sure.
And we could set them to attack people.
Yeah.
They're violent animals. I don't think you guys realize. Shannon, we got to get some questions going. I know Matt's got to leave in like 5-10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. So, Shannon, go ahead. You're in the chat right now. Put your questions in. Taking two from the chat today. The best two questions from the chat today, Shannon.
Okay.
If you guys love the show, first of all, subscribe at gasdigitalnetwork.com. You guys can also join the chat. If you're watching the live stream, we do the live streams every Monday and Wednesday at noon for free. All the live streams on Gas Digital, all 17 shows stream for free now on gasdigitalnetwork.com. And the latest 10 episodes are always on iTunes. So you might be listening to this on iTunes or Google Play. But you should know, the entire archive, over 3,000 hours of on-demand amazing content available on demand, whatever you want it, at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP, $6 per month. That's crazy. $6 per month. You save $1, normally $7. You get the most amazing collection of comedy podcasts and content in the world, including Legion of Skanks, Real Ass Podcast, Believe You Me, Joss the Show. Just brought on Lisa Ann Experience as well. She's so fucking cool. She's coming into town next week. She's going to be on the Wednesday show.
Excellent.
She'll be hanging out with us. Lisa Ann's awesome. Such a cool fucking broad. You guys know I fight porn stars, so I don't fuck around. Shannon, how can they join the conversation?
You can email Lewis at gomezcomedy.com. The contact section and put real ass questions in the subject line, or Lewis's Instagram story, Gomez Comedy, or on Twitter, Lewis J. Gomez.
Very nice. Very nice. No, I didn't send you any questions via email, did I?
No.
Okay. Well, let me go to the IG. Let's go to the iGram first, guys. Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Let's see. Here we go. I should always check these out first before I do it, but I never do. Okay, good question. Katie.V on IG wants to know, how do you feel about ass implants? Go around the round table. Matt Maron, how do you feel about ass implants?
If I don't notice it and it looks good, I'm all for it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm cool with noticing it. Just I don't need a girl's ass to have functional strength. I feel like it can be juiced up a little bit.
It's a good point.
Fine. You're the only person I know who would bring functional strength into an ass implant conversation.
I'm trying to think of the downsides. Yeah. She doesn't need to squat me.
Zach, how do you feel?
Fake tits, fake asses. If you can come on it, it's real.
Yeah, there's something about that that's true as well. Here's the thing. I feel about fake asses the same way I feel about fake tits. First of all, I'll say I've never been with a girl with a fake ass. I don't believe. Okay? I'm not sure. Yeah. I think you would know.
You're only into chicks with real asses.
Oh, yeah.
Real asses.
It's actually a much better question than I realized. What a real ass question about a fake ass.
Oh, so they were thinking like the real ass podcast, and then what about a fake ass? And that's how they came up with this
question.
I wonder if they were just trying to be clever and we all just answered earnestly.
That's exactly what happened.
The consistency of the silicone. You're like, no.
We're just morons.
She made us answer a fake-ass question on the real-ass podcast. Fuck, we're stupid.
She crushed us on the podcast.
Jesus.
Shannon, edit that all out. I will not be beaten on my own podcast by just a simple fan. A fucking civilian,
What if there was a village made of semen?
Listen, I'll answer the question honestly either way. I'll say this much. I don't like fake tits in practice, in theory, rather. But in practice, every time I've been with them, I fucking love them. There's something about a bitch who cares that much about a dude playing with her tits. You get what I'm saying? Because they say it's not really for them. It's for them to feel hot and feel sexy, but it's about the other, or if they're a lesbian, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's about them feeling attractive to another person. And when you're kind of there in the moment, I'm going like, this is fucking great. You spent all this money on these big old fucking fat titties.
Yeah.
Welcome to Gas Digital, Shannon. fake ass.
That's your interview process.
Yeah, that's what I do. I titty fuck every person who interviews a Gas Digital.
First question.
Why do you think I'm the co-host?
Shannon, how do you feel about fake asses? Do you look down on fake asses as a fake titted girl?
See, the thing is with fake boobs is you can't do anything about that in the gym. I feel like with a fake ass, like you can squat, you can do something to build it up, but at the end of the day, if you need to do it to make you feel better about yourself, go for it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'll do another one from IG. This is from Mass Repeal. Wants to know, will there be a West Coast Skank Fest? Bloop, bloop. No West Coast Skank Fest this year. Guys, I'm not going to keep on beating a dead horse here. We couldn't make the multi-city Skank Fest thing happen this year. Everyone just got crazy busy. I know I've been saying this to my partners. I would have probably taken the chance to do it, but I'm an idiot, okay? And the reality is everyone's too busy, including me. We're opening a studio right now. We're launching a brand new app. We're launching a new backend of the website. New website's being launched right now. Merch Pump is going to be fucking launching on a whole other level. It's so much going on that doing it in multiple cities, it was really difficult to make that happen this year. But we are definitely going to do it in New York. I have a meeting tomorrow with my partners, and we have a location already planned out. We already have sponsors in place. I'm going to be announcing Skankfest. I'm going on vacation to Jamaica on Thursday. I'm going to announce Skankfest next Tuesday, the dates and some more information. Next Tuesday, I'm going to make an announcement about it. So, Shannon, anything good in the chat just yet?
Yeah, I have two. First one.
Give me the first one.
From Dissectional or Dissectional, a question for the guest. What movie messed you up as a child? Mine was Terra Firma.
Great question. What movie fucked you up as a child? Zach?
Child's Play.
Child's Play. It really fucked you up.
Child's Play and Poltergeist.
Poltergeist is a good one. Poltergeist, just like every scene is just a scene of horror. And they all kind of blend together. Like the worm, drinking the worm, that fucked me up. The old man fucked me up. The hands on the screen. Like every scene, it's just creepy and horrifying. And it did.
Scariest PG movie ever.
Is it PG?
Mm-hmm.
Poltergeist was not PG.
I'll bet you any amount of money.
All right, dog, relax. You need some? Are you okay? You need some money?
No. I might be wrong, by the way.
You might be wrong.
This is just me doubling down on things lately.
You just knew
you really went hard. Jesus.
Any amount of money. You knew you weren't going to put up much.
Do you want the answer?
Yes.
Okay, it's PG.
Wow. Whoa.
Poltergeist, PG. They had to do it. Somebody in was like, dude, yeah, look. PG.
We want to scare children.
PG. Poltergeist. Come on. What am I going to do?
I think it was because it was right before PG-13 was
a thing.
A thing.
Okay.
Interesting.
It was before people spent time with their children.
Yeah, nobody really cared.
A lot more than...
Could I put that on for my son? We watched the beginning of fucking...
Saving Private Ryan.
We watched the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy yesterday.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
first scene is the kid's mom dying of like horrible cancer. Like a very brutal fucking...
You showed him that on purpose.
No, dude, he goes, Dada, why is the mom bald? And I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like,
yeah. She's a skinhead.
Look, note to self, do not show James our home movies.
Well, it's the other thing. It's like then he starts asking the questions about, like, you know, when are you and Mama going to pass away? And it's, you know, you got to fucking... You know, you gotta fuck with them a little bit. Tell them any day now.
Yeah,
it's a missed opportunity to not get a laugh.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Just building a Lego coffin.
I wonder. I need to hear what happens like more comedians' kids when they grow up and get older, and yeah. like how they end up.
Pauly Shore.
Okay.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, that's the best case scenario. That's
yeah,
true.
To be Pauly Shore.
Paul Rodriguez, a skateboarder. He's like one of the best skaters in the world.
And
his dad is Paul Rodriguez, the comedian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought you went Paul Rodriguez, skateboard. I was like, dude, Paul Rodriguez is a comedian.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Paul F. Tompkins is a surfer.
Yeah.
What do you think? What movie fucked you up as a kid the most?
The Shining. I saw it when I was way too young. I was like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And if I met identical twins, there were twins in my elementary school and I was scared of them because they looked the same.
But it made you get a dog.
Yeah.
Is it going to blow me?
Yeah.
JP?
It's awesome. Aladdin.
No.
You know, I'm scared of Arabs. And what is this female empowerment bullshit?
How hot was Jasmine, though,
so
in Aladdin?
Hot.
Oh, my God. I watched Aladdin with my son the other day. I started watching it. Holy fucking shit.
She's bad as hell.
She is a smoke show and a half. Pull up Jasmine. Can you pull her up naked? I guarantee that's out there.
That's got to be one of the most common.
Look at her. Look at her. Look at her. Fuck it. That's a real Jasmine right there. That cartoon is the real Jasmine. Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, her dad's fingering her?
Her pubes. How
about one with a poo watching in the background?
Yeah, or the bird?
Yeah.
With Gilbert Gottfried's voice? Put it in her butt. Look at that, dude. She's so fucking hot, dude. Probably Arab
I've
girls,
got
though.
Something you could take a ride on. And it ain't a carpet.
I don't know, you could do Gilbert. You've been sitting on that the whole show. You should have forced it in 3 topics ago. What if Gilbert Godfrey was writing Shannon Roast Show? Oh, shit. Anyway. Yeah, that was... I loved fucking... Oof. I love Jasmine. She's sexy as shit. I'm trying to watch it with my son the other day and not be that guy.
Yeah.
Not be like, James, look at that fucking hot piece of Arabian poon.
James, look the other way from me. But no.
Now turn back, quick.
Splat.
No, Exorcist got me good. I saw that when I was like 11. And I was like a sweet little Catholic boy. And I was like, no, the devil.
Yeah,
the
he's going to possess me one day. That was, I'll tell you right now, that was also the one. Because I've talked a lot on this show about how it was, you know, that I watched with my mom. God damn it. How am I blanking now on this
Martha
fucking
Stewart.
Movie? I've talked about this 150 times.
Requiem for a Dream.
No, Requiem for a Dream did fuck me up. But I watched that in like high school for the first time. That's how fucked up that movie was.
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange.
Oh, no.
I watched that when I was like 7 with my mom. And it like, you know.
That's not good.
You know. Yeah, dude. Like getting a like watching gang rape.
No one should be exposed to British people that early. 11-year-old boy.
Just getting a boner while I'm watching gang rape.
Yeah.
Sitting next to my mom. And, like, it's a whole thing, guys. It's not my fault. That's really what I'm saying, guys. But no, I say The Exorcist as well. Yeah. That's another one that, yeah, like, it was so scary and so, like, you know, oh my fucking God. Like, and you raised Catholic as well. I was raised Catholic, went to church. You see those images as well. Like, I was so used to going to, and we didn't go to church every week, but we went enough that it was like going in and just seeing the images of, you
see,
know,
bloody Jesus on, yeah, the cross, dude, every Sunday.
It just fucks you up, dude. And, yeah, you know, you're taught that this shit's fucking real.
Yeah.
And I never really believed it real, but I always remember as a kid, like, blocking out, like, bad thoughts on, like, Christmas, especially, like, religious holidays. Like, and being, like, I remember I wouldn't masturbate when I was, like, 10. I started masturbating really young, but I remember I wouldn't masturbate on Christmas or, like, Easter because I felt like...
That's
like,
getting you into heaven. That's how you do it.
I really thought that was, like, kind of, like, sacrilege to fucking beat my dick, you know, as God's watching me going, like, you know, ha ha, there's fucking Christmas gifts out there. Stop beating your dick. And I'm just fucking, oh, hold on, I gotta get one out before I go fucking unwrap my presents and not even wash my hands.
Yeah.
You're just opening presents with like a extreme hard on and like your,
yeah,
your plaid pajama pants, just trying to hide it from your mom. Like, thanks for the gift.
Yeah, thanks for my fucking hard weird shit. Sexual fucking perversions, yeah, bitch. All right, is there another question in the chat, Shannon?
Yeah, this one's for you. Jbird88 asks, I'm starting the Real Ass Diet today. What's the best snack to stay away from sugar?
Best snack to stay away from sugar. Doggy, it sucks. You know, what am I going to say? You got to disconnect. You got to disconnect from the food. The best advice I can give on that, because I'm back on it right now, because I'm going back to Jamaica on Thursday. I got to fucking at least get one picture with my shirt off.
You got to look good in your mesh,
yeah,
shirts.
Yeah.
Just down there in Jamaica.
I got one, just literally one picture I got to get. Okay. So here's the deal, dude. It sucks. If you really need it, dude, there's like sugar-free chocolates.
Yeah.
There's things, mm-hmm, you can get that are out there. They're not healthy, though. I mean, you're going to give yourself stomach cancer or some weird shit, you know? You got to disconnect from the food. And the reality is, realized diet, you know, you could eat pretty... If you want to eat low-carb meals, you can go online. You go on YouTube. There's a fucking world of, yeah, like, keto-friendly, low-carb. There's so many things you can get that are out there. And you could actually really... If you want to have a treat, I would say do that. I made a keto cheesecake with stevia.
Yeah.
Tastes like cheesecake. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, it is Real Ass Diet, similar to keto. I did keto for like 3 months a couple years ago, and it was mostly almonds, cashews was like a snack if I would go to. Or I would...
I do nuts.
Yeah, if I would get coffee, I would get it with a sugar-free flavoring. Which,
yeah, I don't really... I
bad.
Do, you,
yeah,
know, look, I'm pretty hardcore right now about it. Yeah. And I feel very weak emotionally and physically, but...
Yeah.
The reality is I'm going to have a nice picture in Jamaica, so it's, yeah, worth it. That's it, but you got to look at food as being fuel, okay?
Yep.
Simple as that. All right, that's the show. Great show today, boys. Matt Maron,
thank
real
you.
Matt Maron,
yeah,
on Twitter, at JP_McDade, at @IamShannonLee, at Zach is not funny, at Luis J. Gomez, at Realist Podcast, at Gas Digital. Follow everyone, support everyone, please, on social media. It's so important to do that, guys. Yeah. Remember, subscribe at Gas Digital. If you love the show, support it extra by using the promo code RAP at GasDigitalNetwork.com. You get the complete archive on demand, 5 days pre-release. What? Ad-free episodes, the live chat, message awards, what? All right, we're going to be back Wednesday, Real Ass Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.